Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Dukes of Hazzard's John Schneider coming up. Good guy. Do a one-on-one with him. Interesting story. First, I'll tell you about Skillz. You know, all that time you spend playing games on your phone, you could be playing your favorite games and winning money and prizes. Join me and the ACS listeners at skillz.com/Adam. That is Skillz with a Z. Skillz has games for everyone. Classics like Solitaire Cube and 21 Blitz and fun new games like Blackout Bingo. The guys around here have been playing Pool Payday, though not during work hours, of course. I would have to discipline them. You're matched against players at your own skill level. Beginners play beginners. Experts play experts. Play free against friends, listeners, or coworkers. Or play to win serious cash and amazing prizes. Even cars. Players have won over $2 billion with Skillz. Right, Dawson?
Have more fun playing the games you love and win some extra cash. Go to skillz.com/Adam. That's Skillz with a Z.com/Adam. Must be 18 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Not available in all states. Prizes may vary. Winning is not guaranteed. See website for details.
The Adam Carolla Show presents John Schneider's birthday cocktail party for April 8th. Let's see who's on the guest list. It looks like Spanish explorer and conquistador Juan Ponce de Leon has discovered the party. Betty Ford is here. Better watch your alcohol intake. Former Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan. The guitarist from Yes, Steve Howe. American bank robber featured on the FBI Most Wanted list, Robert Allen Litchfield. John Lennon's kid, Julian, is here. Robin Wright. And that's about it. John Schneider is on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's John Schneider. Stand on hey. It. Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, too. Good to see you. I have one other birthday that we celebrate, and that is Kane Hodder, who was Jason in many of those wonderful movies, was also born on April 8th. So there you have it.
Oh, Jason with the hockey mask. Was that Jason with the hockey mask?
Yeah.
Kane
Hodder is his.
Oh, that is a deep cut. He didn't make our cut. Oh, can you hear me?
That's okay. I have a bone to pick with you. No. We're I'm here working feverishly. We have it's an amazing thing when you have a hit on your hands. I'm not really accustomed to this.
Well, let's
because we are having to fulfill DVDs. We have movie theaters and drive-ins who are calling saying we want to show Stand on It. So we have a wonderful, wonderful way to end our 2020 with actually more work than we did in probably the first half of this year. It's pretty cool.
Well, let me tell people where they can go for Stand On. It's available on demand and streaming, on demand streaming at CINE, Cineflix, FLIX.
Yeah.
Got that right. DOD.com. It's a tribute to Smoking the Bandit. John wrote it and directed it and stars in it as well. I didn't see the movie because I didn't get it until about an hour ago, but I just watched a trailer, and as a car guy and as a Smoking the Bandit guy, it looks like it's right up my alley.
Right? You know, it's so much fun. So much fun. And I'm a car nut, or people think maybe I became a car nut because of Dukes of Hazzard, but my mother had a lead foot. My dad did automobile upholstery. Some of my earliest memories are in a VW Bug, about a 58, 59 VW Bug sliding around in the ice in the Caldor parking lot in Mount Kisco, New York, with my dad driving. So I've been a fan of horsepower and sliding cars around, getting cars into impossibly small spaces for my whole life. So it's a real thrill to be part of this movie and to have people receiving it so well. You know, that's the tough part. You know, just because you love what you do doesn't necessarily mean anybody else is going to even like it.
Yeah, that's kind of the story of my life. I love cars as well, but no one else seems to like them as much as I do. So I was surprised at how young you were, and I was kind of doing the math, and I was saying I would be babysitting my neighbor when I was 15, maybe 16, and I would watch Dukes of Hazzard. And you seemed like an adult to me, and I was a kid. The reality is we're only 4 years apart. So you must have got that gig when you were 18 or 19.
I was 18 years old. Yep. 18 years old when I started Dukes. And my gosh, in some regards, it seems like 42 years ago. In some regards, it seems like 42 minutes ago.
Right.
It's a strange thing, this father time.
Yes.
But it was an amazing experience being on that show, working with all those great people like Denver Pyle and James Best and Sorrel Book. And then the folks who directed Dukes of Hazzard were the people who directed Wanted Dead or Alive and the pilot of Gunsmoke.
Right.
Harry Mason. You know, these folks were really television royalty who had come from, many of them had come from vaudeville through radio to this new thing called television. And by the time they were directing Dukes of Hazzard in 1978, 1979, they were 60 years old. So they had they were my age now, but they had come through the entire, is there any merit to television or is this going to go away?
Right.
Really kind of invented how to shoot television. And I'm very fortunate that I'm a kind of a sponge in that regard. I wanted to know how they did what they did and why. So now at my ripe old age of 60, I get to really basically do what I learned to do back when I was 18, 19, and 20. And I'm loving every minute of it.
How did you come across that job at 18? That seems so young to get a role like that.
You know, it does. But by the time I was 18, I started doing theater in Mount Kisco, New York. I'm from Mount Kisco. And I had been doing theater for 10 years by the time Dukes of Hazzard came around. That's even kind of hard for me to fathom, but it's true. So when, you know, they say success is when preparation meets opportunity. By the time I auditioned for Dukes of Hazzard, I had probably auditioned for 100 things and gotten maybe 12 of them. So the whole nature of wanting something really badly and not getting it, or trying really, really hard to be prepared so you can give the directors, the producers, exactly what they want. I wasn't a stranger to that. And it seems odd to say that, but I wasn't. The week I auditioned for my first audition for Dukes of Hazzard, I auditioned for a movie called The Great Santini.
Right.
With Robert.
Sure.
And I was being considered to replace John Travolta in Welcome Back, Kotter. And I went and I read for the producers from Warner Brothers for a little thing called Dukes of Hazzard.
Wow.
So it was a busy week, and I dare say I got the right job.
Did you move out? So were you out in L.A. going out on auditions with your family? Were you out here with a parent? Like, how did that work?
No, I was actually, my mother moved to Atlanta. She worked for IBM. She moved to Atlanta in 1974. So I went to high school in Atlanta. And there was a lot of theater, a lot of film work. Burt Reynolds had done a lot of, was doing a lot of films in and around Atlanta and Savannah. So the movie industry was hopping. A lot of theater in Atlanta, still is a lot of theater, still a lot of filmmaking. But it was really, from 74 to 78, it was really a hotbed of activity with regard to music, theater, and movies. So I was there. One of the places that the folks from Warner Brothers came to look for Bo and Luke and the gang was Atlanta. because the man who created Dukes of Hazzard, his name is Guy Waldron. He's from Atlanta, so he knew that the talent pool in Atlanta was impressive. You know, a lot of people who take their craft very seriously. And I'm so glad that he did. And even then, when we started filming Dukes of Hazzard, we filmed in Conyers and Covington, which is just a couple miles out of the outskirts of Atlanta. So it was a remarkable time, and certainly changed my life.
So Dukes of Hazzard was shot outside of Atlanta?
The first five episodes were shot outside of it. And then it got on the air and was really an immediate success. There's something about Southern horsepower comedy that you put people in behind the wheel of a car and they really know how to again, like my dad, bend a car around an impossible place. Put them on a CB and have them doing something for the common good, and people will show up and watch it. Still today, people will show up and watch it. And as far as I can tell, there isn't anybody doing that anymore. There really isn't any. You know, sometime this last year, the people have done their damnedest to make even the word Southern have a bad connotation to it, which really riles me. But I'm delighted to be the guy driving the triple black car and jumping the creek again and doing those same things that were so much fun back in the 70s and 80s.
Well, those movies, and I'm thinking Hal Needham, you know, Hal Needham would make those movies, and they were just fun. He had probably, you know, the script was probably 8 pages. He'd hire a bunch of guys that like working with each other, you know, Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise and guys like that. Let them go way off book and improvise and slap together some gags, as they would call them, some stunts, you know. And I don't think Hal Needham really gets his due. A lot of people don't know his name. They don't recognize him as a director. But he did that whole genre of 70s, you know, car things that were transcended car stuff. Fun, a lot of comedy, lots of big-time stunts.
Well, there's a very fine recipe for all of that. And Hal was a friend of mine. We developed a couple of shows later. Never sold any, but I did Speed Zone. Also did a Wheel, a series of 3 movies for television called Bandit. And I did one of those. But yeah, Hal wrote and directed Smokey and the Bandit. He was a consummate stuntman. I think he also directed Stick.
The Burt Reynolds movie.
And even Gator.
Yeah, another Burt Reynolds movie.
And these were wonderful, wonderful. Gator was a fantastic movie.
I think he did Gumball Rally too. Maybe we got to figure that
Cannonball, one. Cannonball
or Cannonball Run. Sorry,
he did Cannonball Run. And you know, there's a special thing that happens when people. The number one thing I hear about Dukes of Hazzard is people say, "You folks looked like you were having so much fun." Well, we were. We were still working 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, 10 months a year. So it's kind of like, you know, how much fun can you have at Disney World every day?
Right.
Out of the year. But it's contagious. And when Hal Needham did a movie, I remember I said to Hal on Bandit, I said, you know, this is the first time I've ever done a movie in the same amount of time it takes to watch it. He thought that was funny. And there's a key to efficiency. And Hal certainly knew how to do that. You know, it's not easy to plan a car jumping over a creek and putting 8 cameras down and making sure there's the fire department is there, making sure there's safety apparatus in the car. You know, there's a whole lot that goes to what boils down to looking like something that just happened.
Right.
And you just happened to have caught it on camera. And Hal was a master at that. And like you say, he would let Bert And certainly he let Jackie Gleason just kind of go.
Yeah.
And with the Sheriff Buford T. Justice, we did that with we had this wonderful guy, Tyrus, who's on Fox, and also Dion Baya, a friend of Tyrus. They've been friends for years. So we cast them as father and son. They're only 4 years apart. One's black, one's white. And nobody has questioned it. But the depth of their friendship fed into their comedy, and it's contagious. I've seen this movie 200 times now. I edited the movie, so I've seen it 200 times now, and I still laugh, just as I still laugh at Buford T. Justice and Junior.
Yes,
in the Bandit.
I've said oftentimes that that role for Jackie Gleason is so underrated by critics and maybe the populace. He was so funny in that role. And there was so much real, like, laugh out loud lines in that, and especially the relationship he had with his son. Or was his son-in-law? No, that was his son.
That was his son.
Yeah, it was great. There was so much comedy from Jackie Gleason in that movie. And it's funny. It's kind of overshadowed by the Trans Am and Burt Reynolds and burnouts and stunts and stuff. But you really watch that movie, it's a tour de force of comedy by Jackie. Yeah.
Great one. Yeah. You know, nobody quotes Burt Reynolds in that movie.
That's a good point.
Anybody's going to quote anything, it's going to be a Jackie Gleason line.
That's right.
I'm reading a book right now called How Sweet It Is, which is a story about Jackie Gleason's life, which is really, really terrific. You know, during that time, a little bit later, another one of my favorites from television, I think the second best supporting actor role maybe ever in a comedy was Fred Gwynn in My Cousin Vinny.
Right. Utes.
The judge, you two Utes. And come right.
In. Yeah. Gambini. Herman.
Oh, my.
Herman Munster. Yeah, he was Herman Munster from the Munster.
Another Westchester County guy. So when I was actually on the set of Smoking the Bandit and spent an afternoon talking with Jackie Gleason about the bars in Mount Kisco, because at the time I think he was living in Peekskill. And I was only 16, but was no stranger to the bars in Kisco. So first thing I said to him was, have you been to the Elbow Room lately? And he was like, what? I said, have you been to the Elbow Room? Come here, kid, sit down. How do you know about the Elbow Room? So that was a very famous bar, the Elbow Room, the White Horse, the Bullpen, places in Mount Kisco that some of my family would frequent, and sometimes I would too, even though I was little. I was 6'2" at 14 years old. So
you could get a drink. You know, you and I have a marginal history.
Tell me.
Well, there was a pilot that I shot in probably 96 or 97, probably 97, called Ordinary Extraordinary.
Extraordinary, yes.
And I did the original pilot. And the host, you know who the host was?
Who was the original host? Me.
John,
wasn't I the only?
No, John Ritter. John Ritter.
I didn't know that. I didn't see that. That must have been the non-air pilot.
Yes. So we shot that thing in Florida at Disney in Florida. And it was me and Ritter and I think Lianza Cornett, like Miss USA or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. She just passed away.
Oh, she did?
She did. Yeah.
She was young.
Of course, John is gone. Yep.
She, who's next? Holy shit. Wait a minute. Well, wait, I was in that pot. She was 49. She passed in October.
I think it was an accident. I think she was climbing or something. She was one of our, she was a former Miss America, so she was part of my Miracle Network.
Yeah, but she was sweet. Anyway, you went on to host the show once they were done with the pilot. We just did the pilot.
Well, you know, way back when, I was the original host. First, I did the non-air pilot as in the actor category, and then I hosted Star Search.
Really?
And Gabe turned that over because it was happening at the same time as some show. It wasn't Dukes. It was some other show. But turned that over to Ed McMahon. But it's so funny. I was just thinking about Ordinary Extraordinary the other day because the fast draw, Bob Munson was on it. And I was, or Mumford, Munson.
I don't know.
Was wondering if I could still shoot that fast. He was amazing. He was amazing. Anyway, that was a great time. I enjoyed that show. And, you know, it should still be running. But sadly, I think we did five, right? Five, maybe?
I think IMDb says seven. I don't know. I looked it up. You did seven.
Yeah, seven episodes.
Munden, by the way. M-U-N-D-E-N.
The fast draw. Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, it was back. You see, they used to have those shows. They weren't quite variety shows. They had, like, real people. And America's Funniest People, they had these kind of human story, kind of variety, kind of fun shows that would air on Friday nights. They're kind of wholesome, and they'd have some guy who would balance his chair on top of a drawbridge or something, and some other guy.
Yeah,
human nature. Sorry, human interest stuff, and guys that had special skills.
Kids are people, too.
That's right.
I love shows like that. I think we need things like that again. We need something that celebrates people being funny or caring. You know, we need to know how to make a gingerbread cookie or the world's largest gingerbread cookie. We've got enough. People just take themselves so seriously anymore.
I know.
And I know a lot of people, and they shouldn't be taken so seriously.
I don't know what happened. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's the never-ending news cycle. I think, you know, I really do think a lot of it is when you start introducing ideas like systemic racism or global warming or these massive, massive things, there's no finish line. They're never fixed. And so you have to kind of walk around with that weight all the time. Like, how would you, if you thought this country was systemically racist and you thought that not only were your kids growing up in a systemically racist country, but they only have 8 to 12 years before the whole thing goes down because of global warming or climate change or whatever, how happy a person would you be?
Right?
You'd be a fool to be happy.
I tell people, you know, there's no sense in having a small dream. Mm-hmm. Have a big one. Have the biggest one you can imagine, and then imagine more. So, yes, that's where cures for cancer come. That's where systemic goodness comes from. This whole notion that we're not only are we going to hell in a handbag, but we're going there quickly, is so detrimental to the human spirit. And we need that. We need people to dream. We need people to dream big. They need to make big movies and little movies and write books and make gingerbread houses and help little old ladies across the street. You know, we really need all of that stuff. And I think it's there. Just for some reason, no one is shining a light on it anymore. No one is pointing a camera at the good stuff. And it's a shame.
Well, I think what it is we have sort of decided that everything that is old, everything that's in this country, all the traditions, all the traditional approach to being a citizen of this country and a parent, a father and a citizen and a neighbor. We've decided all the old stuff is bad and we need to replace it with something new, except for the old stuff works. The old stuff is basically the old stuff to a happy, fulfilled life is the physical version of diet and exercise. It can seem old and archaic, you know, doing calisthenics and eating right and getting up early. It could all sound so old and sound like something your grandpa would do, but nothing works better. And we got everyone away from it and onto some sort of fad diet, and it's not working, and it's making them miserable.
Just before we got on the phone here on this call, Alicia and I, we're here at John Schneider Studios where we film all the movies. We had our white elephant Christmas party. So the white elephant Christmas party, where you can steal a gift up to three times and you pick numbers, it's so much fun.
Right.
And it's older than us.
Right.
And it's
right.
And just before that, I'm rendering something here on my computer, so I can't do anything. So what did I do? I did something I haven't done in a while. In Louisiana, you can still burn leaves. Mm-hmm. So I went out and I raked up a stack of leaves I would have jumped in as a kid and sneezed for a month. But I raked up a stack of leaves, got out my little Zippo cigarette lighter that my lovely wife gave me when we first started dating, and I burned some leaves. And then I raked up some more, and I had so much fun. And the yard looks better, except for that, you know, one burn spot right there in the middle. But there's something to be said for doing the wonderful old traditional things that we used to do with our grandparents.
Yes, the mundane stuff, the bourgeoisie, this kind of stuff. The difference between ordering Grubhub and going to the kitchen and making something with your daughter or son, you know, the
right.
difference. So what is it? Well, is the food better? Like, let's just really break it down. I can't make a better hamburger than In-N-Out than Grubhub could deliver to my house. I can't make a better one. I couldn't make better hot wings. I couldn't make better anything than I could have brought to my house. Then is it a financial thing? No, it's not a financial thing. It's $14 to have something brought to your house. I'm thankfully my tax bracket doesn't. I won't worry about the $14. So then why is it so much better to go into the kitchen, bring your family, bring your kids in there, get out some pots and pans and bust some eggs and do it yourself if it's not about money and the product is inferior? Well, then what is it? And a lot of people have went, well, then you're a sucker if you go into the kitchen and do that because the product's inferior and it's not about the money and you save more time if you just call Grubhub. And the more people who do that, the more unhappy people we have. You have to get back to burning leaves and making omelets.
There's two things. I made what we call egg in the hole, which is you put an egg and you cut a hole in a piece of bread and you fry it up. Two things. There's community with those you are cooking a inferior hamburger with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a sense of accomplishment.
Right.
There's no sense of having some joker knock on your door and charging you $15 for a hamburger. There's no community there. And what's the big deal about saving time anyway? Oh, you know, this is faster. Well, so what? So you can have more time to be on your phone, ignoring the people you're with, texting people that you'll ignore when you get to them because you're texting the next group of people? No, risk having a conversation with someone. Risk learning about your community. Risk having, look over the fence and say hello to somebody. My dad, you know, one of the things my dad did all the time, and I in our truck, I do it. You carry a gallon of gas around. And I said, oh, is that because you're afraid? What is it? The gas gauge not work, you're going to run out? He said, no, it's not in case I run out. It's in case somebody else runs out.
Yeah.
Carry gas. Because couple times a year I see some poor guy walking down the road carrying gas headed somewhere because he ran out of gas. Well, I've been there. And one time somebody had gas and they gave it to me, and I was so thankful. And I want to be that guy. You know, I want to be somebody that pays attention to the people around me, to my surroundings. I still want to believe I'm the guy that if I found a wallet, I would pick it up and turn it into the lost and found, and not take the cash and shove it in my pocket. I am still the guy that can't walk by trash. I pick up trash. I was taught that if you walk by a piece of trash, you might as well have thrown it there yourself. It's tacit littering.
Mm, I like that. I like your dad. Your dad was a military pilot, right?
He was a pilot and he was in the military, but he didn't get to fly in the military.
Oh, but he was a pilot and in the military.
He was he flew N715 Whiskey, a Cherokee. And then he had a V-tail Bonanza.
Oh, the V-tail. Yeah.
Yeah. The one that's apparently very hard to fly or very tricky. They have a bad name for those planes down here in the South. I won't say it.
Did he take you up in it when you were young?
Yep. And my brother flew for Delta. He just retired last week. 42 years with Delta Airlines.
Wow.
I started Dukes of Hazzard.
Wow.
I feel with what my wife and our friends here do, I have chickens. The chickens are crossing the road. Hey, why do you do that? They're not telling. But I feel when I was a kid in the, I probably got my first Super 8 camera back in 1968, 1969. Mm-hmm. And I would film things, and then I'd send my 50 feet of film out to be developed at Caldor, and I'd get it back a week, 2 weeks later, and edit movies. You know, I feel exactly the same way now when we're filming these movies and gathering people together, very much like we have our Dom DeLuise and we have our friends that we work with here. We have a great time. We don't take ourselves. It's not that we don't take what we do seriously, because, you know, there's a lot to making a movie. But we don't take it so seriously that people don't have fun.
Right.
And at the end of the day, when you sit down and you're having a cocktail with friends, watching a movie you all made together, there's that sense of community again. There's that sense of accomplishment again. There's that, dare I say, fellowship.
Well,
which is vitally important to who we are,
yes,
as people.
Well,
and certainly are as American citizens.
I think there's an aspect of this that we're not touching on, but I will, which is whether it's making an omelet for you or your son or your daughter with your family, whatever, raking the leaves and burning them or making a film, you have the experience of beginning, middle, and end. And
yes,
you don't have that experience in a digital virtual world where people are bringing food. You know, there's no end. You just binge watch Mad Men or something, and there's just another episode in the queue. Like the beginning, middle, end, whether you're building a model, whether you're doing the leaves, whether you're putting an addition on your house, the experience, large and small, because I've made quite a few films, and it, you know, takes a long time, and there's a beginning, there's a middle, and then there's the part where you see the DVD sitting up on your shelf, you know,
right,
and then you blink your eyes and 10 years goes by and you look up at that DVD. And again, if you're doing an omelet, there's a beginning, middle, and end too. It's 15 minutes. The more beginning, middle, and end experiences you can have, the richer your life is going to be. And we have an ever-growing populace that's just one big middle. It's not really a beginning or an end. It's just everyone's just kind of living in the middle. I'm just going to watch CNN, and I'm just going to sit on my phone, and everything's going to be in the middle. I'm not going to start things. I'm not going to finish things. You need to finish things, and sometimes they have to be tangible. You have to go rake those leaves. You have to go prune that tree. You have to go do that project in the garage, you know, or help the kid out with the soapbox derby race or whatever. You need those.
I love that. You know what else is in that we're missing is anticipation.
Yes.
We're not anticipating. Back to Duke's. People waited with bated breath for Friday nights at 8 o'clock because the Dukes of Hazzard was coming on. I watched Bonanza Sunday nights after the Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah.
And I looked forward to that. I looked so forward to that. And we're missing that. We want something now. We don't know what it is. We look on our phone and go, oh, okay, this looks all right.
Yeah.
We also don't have discovery. When I was a kid and I needed to look up a word, I'd look it up in the dictionary, or if I really wanted to learn something, I'd look in the Encyclopedia Britannica. And you never go right to the word. When you Google something, you go right to it.
Good point.
You look something up in a dictionary, you're a couple of pages either side. I'm still, you know, I still have to go ABC. I still have to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star when I think of my ABCs.
Right.
But you'd always, again, tacit. There'd always be some tacit learning and peripheral learning that happened by virtue of trying to find something out. And that would invariably lead to thought, which in the mind of a writer, in the mind of someone who likes to read, that would always make me think, it would make me, here's the most important word, I think, the most important gift you can have or trait you can have is curiosity.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I wonder what, you know, of course, it got Curious George in trouble all the time, but still. I think we've lost our, I'm loving this conversation, by the way.
Good.
I think we have lost our curiosity.
Absolutely. Well, we don't need to be curious if the information is going to keep flying at us. And, you know, we're now in such a position where we're kind of avoiding stimulus that is just flying at us. You know, so much is coming at us. We had to go out and seek it. You know, so when you're a kid, you'd have to walk down to the creek and go find a tadpole and see if you could put it in a jar and bring all that stupid, you know, sort of Norman Rockwell stuff that everyone thinks is dated and boring. You had to go seek out things. You weren't avoiding anything. There was nothing around. So you had to have that. I want to circle back to a thing when you brought up the Dukes of Hazzard Friday nights, 8 o'clock, I used to watch when I babysat, as I said, and I looked forward. I look forward to the Love Boat and Dukes of Hazzard and Fantasy Island.
Like,
and you couldn't.
Oh, by the way,
yes,
Gavin McLeod. I think he's April 8th. I know we were born in the same hospital different years.
Well, if Gavin McLeod, if Captain Steubing was born on your birthday and he didn't make our roll call, I'm going to fire somebody's ass. But Dawson, is Gavin McLeod?
No, Chris,
no. No, he isn't. All right, I want to circle back to this thing because I think it's important.
Okay.
All right, hold on 1 second. Let me tell you about Sling TV. Tired of huge cable bills? Want to cut the cord but worried about missing your favorite shows? Sling TV, same top cable channels for as little as half the price, plus over 50,000 on-demand shows and movies as well. Make the smart choice, say, by switching to Sling TV. You won't miss a thing except the giant cable bills. Sling has millions of subscribers and starts at only $30 a month for 30 top channels, plus they offer bundles, so you can get the local channels for free, and you save even more that way. Make the smart choice. Switch to Sling TV. Get the best cable for the best price. It's easy. You can switch and save. Super easy to switch with Sling TV. Learn more at sling.com/Adam. That is sling.com/Adam. All right, John, we'll take a quick break. Yep. We'll come right back, and I will tell you what I was thinking right after this. Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV and drop into that world for free, baby. That is free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows free. Yes, free. No subscription, no fees. 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming it now. So, you want to watch TV, you want to watch all your favorite shows, you want to cut that cable, you don't want to spend all that money. Well, how about you spend zero money with Pluto TV? Pluto TV, drop in, watch for free.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
Quick, hilarious read. As in his podcast, he write the candor, common sense, and humor on you during this time. Freedom and to the speed are crucial community and should be fought. And any cause you ask political correctness need to obliterate. I say Carolla for president.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all woke, no joke culture. And leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Back with John Schneider, and we're talking about his movie, A Stand On. It's available now on demand, and you can find it. I will spell it out for you. CINEFLIXDOD.com is where you can find this fun movie, and you can check out his website, John Schneider Studios. Now, you were talking about waiting till Friday night to watch Dukes of Hazzard, and one of the things. So that's essentially anticipation slash foreplay, and now we just jump right to the sex, and we're wondering why we're not enjoying it as much because there's no anticipation, there's no foreplay, and I enjoyed the hell out of those episodes. And if you told me I could watch one whenever I wanted to on my phone, I would immediately lose interest, I'm sure. And I had this realization when I was filming Hanukkah with Goldberg, the wrestler, for a man. It was a man show bit. We were doing a man show bit, and it was probably in 2001 or something like that. And we just rented out someone's house because we need a sort of regular looking house to do this whole Hanukkah thing. And we're in between takes and we had some downtime, and I was just wandering around the house. I was just kind of looking in, and I looked into the kids' room. And when I looked into the kids' room, I saw a DVD of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas just sitting in his book rack. And I looked at it, and I remember thinking, that's ruined for him now. He doesn't care about The Grinch Who Stole Christmas anymore. For me, The Grinch That Stole Christmas was a big deal when it came on, you know, and it was appointment viewing. And I realized this was July. He had the DVD sitting in his room, and I realized it doesn't mean anything to him now. It's been ruined because he could watch it whenever he wanted to.
I agree. You know, it's such a tough thing because we all thought that on demand was a good idea, but I don't think anybody really thought that through. Because like you say, you diminish the value of everything when everything is available at any time.
Right.
I used to watch The Wild Wild. Here's the funny thing. We just last week we rescued a caboose that was going to be cut up and sold for scrap in a town here in Louisiana called Ponchatoula. We had this caboose moved here to the studio. Why have I wanted a caboose for as long as I can remember? Because James West and Artemis Gordon had their office in a caboose on the Wild Wild West.
Right.
Here I am, 60, and I have a caboose. And I feel like I'm 10 years old again because of that. My phone fell over.
That's all right.
You know,
are you going to?
It's hard.
We're looking at a picture of the caboose, by the way.
It's, I have only run into one parent, one set of parents in my 42 years that got it right. And what they did is their young kids got turned on to Dukes of Hazzard. But they showed it as soon as they realized their kids were interested, like they were watching Dukes of Hazzard. They made a promise to themselves that they would only show it to their kids on Friday nights at 8 o'clock. So they were in control, at least of that show. And that's what they did. And those kids had the same experience that kids had when it was first on. But the parents had to do that.
Right.
Now, some other parent may say, oh, that's terrible. Why would you do that when it's available? It's right there. Well, it's about anticipation. It's about community. It's about accomplishment. It's about us enjoying something together. Television used to be a unifying element. We all watched Bonanza. We all watched Hee-Haw. I watched Wild Wild West with my brothers. Then all of a sudden, when whoever they are figured out that they could sell one show to males 14 to 16 and another show from females 13 to 15 and another show, all of a sudden television became something that separated families, that girls are over there, the dad's watching football, the mom is watching something over there, the son. So that kind of happened in the 80s and 90s. And then this phone that we're talking on showed up, all under the guise of convenience. But what it's done is it separated us. And, you know, now we're at a time where kids aren't even graduating together. I see commercials and it just makes me, it makes my soul hurt when I see, oh, this is the new birthday party. Here's a little girl blowing out cyber candles on a laptop. Here's people. This time we're in right now is a bigger enemy to community accomplishment and anticipation than on-demand television ever was. We've got to get back to raking leaves. We've got to get back to Smokey and the Bandit. We've got to get back to community and egg in the hole, making pancakes and trying to flip one up out of the pan and have it land hopelessly on the floor. You know, we've got to get back to doing that.
You'll be happy to know. Yes. So here's the thing. It must be self-imposed. You know, we're no longer having to walk 8 miles to the well every day. So we invented a treadmill. You know, we get it. We get it with physical activity. You don't, you know, all these pieces of equipment, they're all just simulating an activity that we used to have to do. Right. The stair stepper and the cycle, the soul cycle. Right. And they're all rowing machines. I have a rowing machine and I'm not going anywhere. That's the rowing machine. It's a simulation.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So we understand that in the physical, as far as your body goes and health goes, you need to simulate this activity or you will wither. You will atrophy. There's a mental version of this that we haven't figured out, which is you better start simulating work. Just because you could go buy a birdhouse that was made in China for $11 on Amazon doesn't mean it's a good use of your time or money. Even if it costs more to go down to the hardware store and bring your son or daughter and go to the garage and make a project out of it. You know,
right.
You must. That is essentially simulating the workout that our parents didn't have to worry about it because that's the world they lived in. Now there's an option. There's a Grubhub and an Amazon option. And it's really easy to just bug out of the old-fashioned tried-and-true option and go right to the easy, the path of least resistance. Pick up your phone and order whatever you wanted and whatever right. food you want or whatever that kit or that project is. I'm saying, even if it seems counterintuitive, you must go out to the garage. You must build a treehouse. You must burn leaves. We haven't quite figured that out.
You must change a tire.
Yes. Now you will be
with your kids.
You must
whack a car. Yes, it's easier to go to the car wash and run it through there. But again, there's no community there. There's no sense of accomplishment. You don't get any accomplishment when somebody else does a half-assed job on your chrome. You know, there's something about that. Looking at, hey, son, look, that's you. That's me in the chrome there. Look, oh.
Upside down. You know,
something about that Charles Kuralt world. Something about that Paul Harvey world.
Good day.
We have lost. It is up to us to take it back. And with the current situation, where community is not only not encouraged, but it is now shunned under the guise of public health, you've got to make a decision to spend time with people. You've got to make a decision to make a new friend today. It's not going to happen without you. You must do it. That's why I'm delighted drive-ins are actually a force to reckon with again. Drive-ins are doing great. We just played drive-ins with the movie, and before the drive-in, we did a concert. But there are kids running around, playing in the dirt, playing in the sand, running up and down, swinging on swings, and you know, having a ball, doing things kids do.
Right.
And that still exists, but you have to make an effort. You have to take your kids out. You have to let them play. I mean, my God, people take their dogs to dog parks and they won't play with their own children.
That's a good point.
It's got to change. It's got to change. Or people people are losing sight because they haven't. Some people haven't even seen it. They don't know what that kind of happy is.
Right.
They don't know what a beer and a Dodger dog or a Coney Island dog is. They don't know what a great slice of pizza with a stranger is. They don't know what a hot cup of coffee and a warm apple fritter on the corner on Fifth Avenue. They don't know what that is anymore. And I don't know who they are, but they are trying to keep that from happening at all costs. You know, divide and conquer comes to mind.
Yeah. And as I always think, to what end? What's the end? What's the end game? Let's get everyone agitated and angry and hating this country and hating everyone around them. And then what? Sell them things?
People are easy to control. You know, I've always been somebody who felt that you can't really gather people against something. You know, and they believe that you can gather people in opposition to something. I believe you gather force for something.
Well,
you know, let's do a play. I've got a barn. I got a piano. Let's do a play. I got a hammer and some nails. Let's build something. Let's make an omelet.
Well,
let's make. Right.
I first off, you are speaking to a man who, as soon as we're done here, is going to get in his Z car with a 6-speed transmission and take his 14-year-old twins out to the school parking lot and teach them how to drive a stick shift. That is my goal.
That's fantastic. I'm going to tell you a quick driving with my kids story.
Please.
I made sure. Now this was in a 56 DeSoto. It wasn't in 1956. I had it in probably 1995. But I made sure that my kids, the first time that a car got out of control for them, I wanted to make sure that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So we drive down a dirt road or in a dirt parking lot, and I would say, okay, floor it and turn the car all the way to the left. And they would, and it was, they weren't scared. It was like, oh, that's fun. So I wanted to make sure that my kids understood that they, when that happened, they could control it. It's hard to do with a stick shift, but you can give it a shot.
Oh, I've done it on way more than one occasion at a stick shift.
Kids don't know how to drive a stick yet.
Wow.
That's going to be a tough for them to figure out.
They're going to learn.
My man once said, it's better to jump off a horse than be thrown.
I concur. Stand On It's the name of the movie. It's available now on demand, streaming it.
You can also get it at johnschneiderstudios.com. Johnschneiderstudios.com.
Yeah, go there. John, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Every moment of it. You have a wonderful Christmas. Have a great holiday. Have a wonderful new year. There's still time to make 2020 the best year yet.
I'm going to try from your mouth to God's ears. John Schneider, everybody. Thank you, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me hit Simply Safe. Everyone wants to feel safe at home. Keep their family safe. Break-ins, fires, floods, medical emergencies. Simply Safe Home Security, award-winning 24/7 protection. Not only an arsenal of cameras and sensors, you get professional monitors and you get the best in the business. They got your back day and night, ready to send police, fire, or EMTs. We've been with these guys for years. They've been a great sponsor. The company just keeps growing because it's a great company, and the product is fantastic. You can set it up in about 30 minutes. Then you let Simply Safe's professionals take over, monitoring your home 24/7, ready to send help in a moment's notice when they hear that alarm. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees, no installation costs. And right now, our listeners get a free home security camera with the purchase of Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/Adam. 60-day risk-free trial. Visit Simply and the free security camera, simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, Naples, off the hook. January, doing stand-up and live pod there, January 16th, 17th, and that's Florida, Naples, obviously. Burbank, California, Pickwick Bowl, January 23rd. We're doing a drive-in show there, Oklahoma City. Bricktown Comedy Club, February 26th and 27th. And you just go to amcroll.com for all the live shows, and check out our YouTube page. We have a lot of cool clips and stand up there as well. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll, Gina Grand, Paul Bryan, and John Schneider saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get all the links and everything else at adamcarolla.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV and drop into that world for free, baby. That is free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows free. Yes, free. No subscription, no fees. 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else, from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming it now. So, you want to watch TV, you want to watch all your favorite shows, you want to cut that cable, you don't want to spend all that money. Well, how about you spend zero money with Pluto TV? Pluto TV, drop in, watch for free.